I pressed record.
So now we are recording, folks.
Yes.
Okay. So welcome to our May 4th Adult Education Block Grant public meeting. Mm-hmm. My name is Melissa Marino, and I'm the chair of the consortia. And today we have Ray McDonald with the Workforce Development Board and Tony Bauer with the County Office of Education is absent, and we're still waiting on Micheline Miglis, and if she shows up, we'll announce that in our recording. But for now, we do not have quorum, so we won't be able to take any action on the items on the agenda today.
But we'll still go through the agenda as best we can.
Yes.
Yeah.
So our first item on the agenda is an informational item. We have any amendments that we wanted to make for our 2015-2016 reports. Those are due May 15th. And so I have in the discussion item our annual plan to discuss, to see if we want to make any revisions. We also, last meeting, we took care of our fiscal administration declaration, and that has been submitted, and that was just a reaffirmation that the district, the Santa Barbara Community College District, will continue to act as our fiscal agent, and that we have 100% of the allocation of funds to the district, and primarily for ease in accounting and reporting. And I think our last experience this last year has been amazing because that was an excellent decision.
It worked.
It worked, and that enables us to work with other organizations very easily and to track all of the activities. So I want to thank our my fellow consortium members for agreeing.
You're welcome. Yes, it was on behalf of the other two members of myself.
Yes.
I will say thank you.
Because it does streamline our reporting, and it makes it much easier for all
it
of
does.
Us. So, and as long as, you know, we keep our eye on that and make sure that our adult education block grant coordinator is doing the best that she can.
It's one of those things that I think that we've done here that I think is potential best practice.
Definitely.
I think there's a number of things that this particular consortium has done, just in knowing some of the things that some else is going on around the state from my counterparts who are workforce directors, and I think we're doing some really interesting things here that I think in September when there's the come back together in Sacramento, I think we might have a good story to tell.
Yeah, and we can submit those best practices and practices with promise on the website, and we might do that
because we'll
get attention for
some. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. So then another item is save the date for October 6th and 7th, the annual Adult Education Block Summit.
Oh, that's
summit.
What I meant. When I said September, I guess
in
it's
October.
Mm-hmm.
So they expect all of the consortium members to attend in Sacramento. So that's something that you want to put
calendar.
On your calendar.
Is it the same hotel? Did you recall?
I don't know. I haven't looked at that.
Okay.
So I don't know where it is. But it is in Sacramento, obviously.
Yes.
So that ought to be fun. And I'll host a meeting at the Grange again.
Yes. And In fact, last year, if you recall, the California Workforce Association had a meeting, our quarterly meeting conflicted.
That's right.
And so I had to go to our meeting at AEBG because that was more important to me than going to the other one. So it is.
Yeah.
So I told the association, as soon as you sent out the thing about hold the date, I sent it to the association and said, please make sure that we don't have a conflict.
Okay, good.
Time, so.
Excellent. And so now we have public and entity comment. I noticed we have a few members in our audience today, but I think the comments, I don't have any comment slips, so I'm expecting the discussion item 6A that includes whomever is in the audience. Is that correct? Okay. So without further ado, we have a consent item, which is to approve last month's April 6th minutes.
And I don't think we can do that without the quorum.
So I will move that to next month's agenda.
High tech, boy, I'm so envious.
With my iPad Pro.
Yes.
So next item on the agenda under discussion is the Youth Build presentation that's going to be led by our Program for Adults consultant, Clarissa Morris. Clarissa.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. Brought with me two partners from the Youth Build collaborative that's going to be based in Carpinteria today. That's Bob Kingston, he's president of the Rotary Club in Carpinteria. And on my right is Dr. Patrick Foster with San Marcos City College Construction Academy. And I'm waiting for one more person from Habitat for Humanity. But before they say a few words, I want to just go over the outline that I gave you briefly, but it's going to be exciting, I promise you. What is Youth Build about? Basically, it's and it's spelled one word with capital B on build. It's a philosophy, really, of what a holistic approach should be in youth leadership development programs. And that's when it started in 1978 in East Harlem, New York, founded by Dorothy Stoneman, and she was an instructor there and found that she couldn't get through these kids and that needed to learn, but she needed to address their barriers, first of all. So from then on, in the 90s, our then Senator John Kerry introduced a bill to Congress about the Youth Build, that they need funding for these communities who are impoverished and need to help the low-income youth and help them feel a sense of pride and ownership and trying to do something with their hands and while learning and getting their high school diploma. So in the 90s, it was approved and under the Department of Housing and Development at that time. And later on by President George Herbert Bush, I guess he's the father, right?
H.W., right.
Yes. He merged it with the WIA, that's at that point Workforce Investment Act, with Department of Labor, Employment and Training Administration, to provide these funding for Youth Build programs throughout the United States. By the way, it's also an international program in 15 countries so far. Now France wants to latch on to this concept for France. But I wanted to just tell you briefly, I had to take this directly from their website. And their website tells you the whole story about how it started, their mission, their philosophy, and their core values. And basically, in short, it's the intelligence and positive energy of young people needing to be liberated and enlisted in solving problems facing their own communities and our society. Leadership development is a central element of effective community development and youth service. That's the core value of this program and philosophy. Youth Build is part of changing America to create opportunities for its young people to fulfill their dreams, achieve their goals, give back to their communities as citizens and leaders. And how do we get into this? I'm moving on to the development of Youth Build in Carpinteria. How did we even want to explore this? But one day, Ray and I were exploring youth funding through the Department of Labor, because each year they do have solicitation for youth funding. And Ray and I looked at, I had the screen on Youth Building, said, explore that, Clarissa. And together with his, under his direction, I had explored it from late October of 2015 to early February that I finally got and met the right community champions for this program to originate and develop in the South Coast area. And there were many meetings and many conversations about why do we need this? And why and who are going to be partners and how we're going to get funded. So there are all those questions and challenges that we face together. However, through their huge hearts, and this is just two of nine partners we were able to embrace and be part of this. And they're key partners of the whole community of South Coast. So, and that includes Habitat for Humanity, Santa Barbara City College Construction Academy, Goodwill Industries, Demo to Design, it's a reuse and reconstruction firm that use old construction materials from old houses and mansions that the students at the academy were able to convert into, how do they call that? Casitas? Casitas, like shelters or storage. And they had done this project already through the construction academy. We also have the Rotary Club of Carpinteria, and thanks to Bob, he's with the new morning club of Rotary. There are two clubs in Carpinteria. And Richard Campos with the noon club. They are both endorsing and supporting this program. The Boys and Girls Club of Carpinteria has also made a support to this program because although they serve younger students, those younger students have siblings, older siblings that they could refer to this program. And then I've also been in contact with the Rincon High School principal in Carpinteria, Barnaby Glover, and La Cuesta principal here in Santa Barbara. Also, as well as the Los Robles High School at Los Prietos. Probation Department is also a key partner in this program. So with that, I'd like to give the floor to Bob and Patrick to say a few words and let them know what you had experienced along the way.
Go ahead, big guy.
Well, so.
Announce your name.
Yeah, my name's Patrick Foster, I run the Construction Technology Program here at Santa Barbara City College, sometimes referred to as Construction Academy. We're always looking for ways to help the community, and we team up with Jose Martinez quite a bit at the Community Education Center here at Wake Center. For instance, we have a summer program for Hispanic high school youth, teaching them soft skills using construction as a venue. And so when Clarissa approached me for this program, it sounded really great. You know, one of the things I fight as a person in construction is the community and the Southern California have this kind of weird perception of South Coast as being a very wealthy, homely community. And so they don't need any help in terms of the trades or in terms of disenfranchised youth. But we know, because we're in the education and county services, that that's not true. We have the same, not the percentage that Compton has, but we have a percentage of disenfranchised youth that need help. So I'm always trying to go against that image and do something for the community in terms of construction. So a lot of times the community comes to me because I run this construction program at a public school, community college here. So when we started getting this program clearer in our eyes, the commitment I could make, and I can't, it's kind of awkward because I can't speak for the college. You know, I'm just one department chair, and I have to clear with the dean, he has to clear with the administration. So I always ask my dean, well, how much can I say, how much can I commit as a department chair? And so my commitment originally and still holds is that I will deal with the construction component of this project one way or another. And I said, bottom line, I usually teach at night, because I have tradespeople that come to my classes. So I have the days pretty empty. And that's what we need is a daytime program. So I said, worst case, I would myself go to start it out for the first year, go to Carpinteria and set up a shop and teach this class. Preferably, I would get someone local down there and I could transfer the stuff to them. But either way, I wanted to make sure that the group knew they were covered construction-wise. And this is a huge thing. Dealing with the infrastructure is just the bombshell, and I think that's behind the state and federal panic / interest in construction technology and CTE, because we have a lot of infrastructure. We have half the workforce is retiring, the boomers, and these things are going to meet, and we're going to be totally unprepared. As a society, we're not great at keeping up with infrastructure anyway. It's kind of built into our genes that we don't, out of sight, out of mind. So these things are coming to the fore, so we're working like crazy to get this going. And I think this is a great project to not only have more people tune into this need for infrastructure and construction, to get kids decent trade occupation career, and to deal with disenfranchised students all in one. And that's the name of the game. It's the synergy between these needs that we have. We have tremendous needs in the society, and the more we can put the needs together and piggyback them, the more it'll fly, because people will see it be a bigger force.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am Bob Kingston from Carpentry. I represent kind of both Rotary Clubs. We have, I've been a member of, in Carpentry for 25 years, and I've always had an interest in youth. And having been on the board at Salvation Army in Carpentry for years, realized the number of men that were in there that just weren't college material, but they weren't really geared for anything else in life. And they just drifted aside. So we, about a year ago, year and a half, a little over a year ago, we decided to go on the mentor program in Carpentry. And we're addressing the fourth through eighth graders, because that's when kids typically start to make the choices which way they're going to go. And so I'm very excited about that. Clarissa and I met, and I felt her passion right away. And I think this is a part of the puzzle. There's a ton of disenfranchised youth who've kind of gone through high school. And I have my own theory that City College is a wonderful thing, but it's also kind of a curse sometimes. A lot of kids in high school just say, I'll figure it out when I go to junior college, because all I have to be is 18 or get in. And they don't focus, so they're kind of out there drifting around. And I agree with the analysis that there are a lot of kids that today are realizing the trades are a good way to go. And we can reach them, and through these guys' energy and Rotary's commitment, I want to be part of that group that helps these kids get focused and become. And I like the fact they teach about citizenship and giving back to the community, the whole nine yards, not just about making a living. So I'm happy to be part of it, and I think we're going to carry this through and get Rotary's endorsement. Right now we're doing the fourth grade, but I'd like to partner with these folks and carry that through to the older population. There's definitely a lot of them lost and looking for a way to go. And there is a big need, I think. And I've been able to bring a couple contractors to the table. Older than the baby boomers are starting to bust out, who want to get involved in this thing, and I work with youth and teach them trades. So I cooked Chris up with a very successful contractor last week who's all over this. He wants to be involved. And there's two or three more. So I'm happy to be part of it and do everything we can to make this thing work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You see the synergy here.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened to Ben Bradley from Habitat for Humanity. But anyway, just to move at a faster pace here, the program design is basically to start out in Carpentry with 18 to 24-year-olds. That's the target population here. And as you know, Carpentry doesn't have an adult high school at the moment. But what we intend to do is really coordinate our efforts with adult high school, with City College vocational schools, and make it one central program for these kids who are disenfranchised, who are disconnected, and need to go into a trade, as Bob had said, because they're just not interested in going to the academia world. But our program design includes a two-week emotional wellness strength, kind of a test period for them. They weed themselves out the first 2 weeks. There's an education component if they don't have a high school diploma. And should they have a high school diploma already, but they have basic skills deficiency, then we are equipped to provide that through the lead agency, which I'll talk about. Then there's construction skills training, because that's what Youth Build is about, is construction skills. It's now green energy, beautification projects, and repair and rehabilitation. And then there's the practical field experience through the Habitat for Humanity. They fortunately have three projects going this fall of 2016 in Carpentry. So we are trying to push this up so that we can take advantage of that. Then the major partner with the Workforce Development Board, they have promised to allocate 20 paid work experience slots so that the kids or the young adults who are getting their field experience and doing this building, actually the building projects, they can get $10 an hour for up to 300 hours. So there's their other motivation and kind of a gift for their service to the community. Then we have the mentoring support through the Rotary and through the community citizens. and whom I met, a builder who's 84 years old. He wants to be part of this. He was a high school dropout, and he brought himself up to where he owns a construction company, and he owns all these businesses, and he wants to give back. So those are the kind of people that are involved. We also have case management, job placement, and support by Goodwill Industries. They're coming in as a partner that provides free service to this. The next development steps is basically locating a Carpentria facility to house the youth build program in Carpentria. And that's where I'm going to ask Bob to help us with that. And then we need to formalize the policies, the local policies for this youth build program. It's kind of a complicated version of the main youth build program that's in Boston, Massachusetts. Then they need to appoint a local program director to initially work with the lead agency. The lead agency being the LA Youth Build Collaborative. They have agreed to fold us in as an affiliate program, and now an application has been sent to the main headquarters in Massachusetts that they want to officially accept us as a Youth Build licensed operator in Carpentria, in Santa Barbara as well. So that's coming forward, and probably by the end of this month, we should hear that we're now officially recognized as a youth build program. So there's a lot of the development steps is a coordination between the local director with the Los Angeles lead agency and administrators are bringing one staff that could kind of help us establish this program and help launch it. And then we're going to be engaged in a coordinated recruitment effort to get at least 40 possible applicants and screen them down to 20 viable candidates for this program. The key dates and timelines is basically, as I have it in this outline, we started the development phase in October. It took us 4 months, and those were interesting discussions that I had one-on-one in a main community forum that occurred in Carpentria in February, where we had 23 people attend that particular forum who were interested in this particular project. We had guest speakers Phil Matero from LA Youth Build and Rossi Johnson from LA Youth Build, both of whom were referred to me by John Baker, the Youth Build, the main conference coordinator and project, I don't know his title now, but anyway, he was referred to me because he was in Sacramento January Youth Conference, and I said, anyone there from Youth Build, send him my way. So we still were in search for a lead agency. We need a lead agency for this. In March, I had conversations with the LA people, and they said, yes, we'll take this on at our expense. We'll administer the program, but we need a local person to help us co-administer this and lead this with us. It's going to be small. We want to pilot it in Carpentria. So the operational dates are going to be starting in August, and I think they're going to be here sooner once they find the site in Carpentria. Why Carpentria? It has not been served. I understand it has not been served, but the urgency and the willingness and the cooperation from the community citizens there, it's amazing. They want to make this happen. So, and I've gathered that since I live in Carpentria. So,
it had nothing to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's my loyalty now. So to make it, to end this in a positive and more positive, exciting way is how do we link it with Adult Education Block Grant Consortium objectives, and I think I see lots of ways that we can connect. The link to the industry sector information that was submitted, that was presented by Workforce Development Board Executive Director Ray McDonald, of one of which was building and design, we could definitely hook into that and have Youth Build Program connect with the Santa Barbara City College Construction Technology Program, connect with the Adult Education Program, connect with the Habitat for Humanity and other nonprofit organizations. It becomes the partnering for a California workforce. And then we have the reuse and recycling program attached to that. And we have a creation of a path to other vocational technical programs offered through City College. Because once they come out of this program, we envision there might be some motivation on the part of the young adults when they have their certificates on hand or when they get a job. Then we also envision a joint marketing and recruitment effort for these young adults in Carpinteria through the Santa Barbara One Stop and Youth Build Center. We not only would increase and improve the sense of pride among the community citizens, but especially the young participants. And we want to motivate them to continue to enroll and train in construction and other trades through City College. There's, of course, economic revitalization. There's academic advancement. I'm being hopeful here. And there's the whole aspect of developing an innovative, a really first of its kind community partnership to occur in this county. It would be the first of its kind. So anyway, that's our presentation. Do you have anything else?
Well, yeah, just one thing. That was a great presentation to say.
Thank you.
This particular Youth Build curriculum is meant to make leaders, community leaders, out of these disenfranchised people. So we're taking the ones that are perceived as at the bottom, and we're actually making them excited to help the community, which is great, because now we have a voice from that direction in input into the communities and to what the community decides. Because it's like an incredible concept.
Yes,
thank you. Who wants the communities run by just the upper
right? It's going to be youth-led.
Yeah, and the training is, I've seen it. I've been in the schools with Clarissa, and the training is great. I mean, it's really, it really is leadership oriented, and these guys just eat it up. It's just a tremendous connection.
Right. Thank you.
You mentioned youth several times. Just to be clear about it, we're talking about 18 to 24 year olds. So I just want to be clear about that, since we're adult education.
Right.
Blockchain. So
yeah. So first of all, thank you all for being here and taking the time to share it with us, because it sounds like an incredible program, and I see a lot of synergy here, and even to the point where our next round of funding is here, and I would encourage you to submit a request for proposal for something involved in this Youth Build program. Having said that, I have some potential areas for consideration.
Okay.
One of them is.
That was great. I love that.
I love that.
One of them, I think we want to be really mindful of the programs that fall under the umbrella of the adult education block grant. And one of them that comes to mind, but I think we need to really survey everything that we have under the adult education block grant potentially. I mean, we are charged, our major charge and mission is to be the umbrella for all adult education in our consortium district, which is CARP to Goleta. We are mandated by the state to be the umbrella for all adult education programming 18 to 24 year old. So you need to be a partner with us.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to or not.
Absolutely.
That's one thing. But which
it's
but,
music
but
to
it's,
our ears.
It is great. But then what we need to do is survey everything that already exists, and how do we partner. And one of them that came to the forefront of my mind when you were presenting is our adult high school GED program. So it has me a little bit concerned that you're partnering with an organization potentially that would, I don't know if the word is compete,
duplicate,
or usurp or duplicate our adult high school GED program, that maybe doesn't know there's a need in Carpinteria, and how can we get the adult high school in Carpinteria that is a program that already exists that's free to students.
Correct.
So, and Santa Barbara City, we're an unusual consortium in that Santa Barbara City College for 50 years has been an issuer of high school diplomas. It has And if you look at other consortia areas, the adult high school is contracted by a high school district or a K-12 district. In our community, they've opted out, and Santa Barbara City College has been the adult high school diploma issuer. So that would be something that we really need to explore. How do we get our adult high school GED program at a location in Carpinteria that meets those student needs? So that would be my first consideration. But who knows what else needs to be considered. In terms of what we already have to offer. So I imagine an RFP along the lines of coordinating with our adult high school GED program that already is doing basic skills initiatives and the adult high school program. How do we partner with Lisa Gardner-Flores, who's our non-credit coordinator in charge of the adult high school GED program, and how do we get an RFP to get that down there without duplicating efforts from an agency that is potentially costs money,
right,
and competes with what our district is responsible
correct
for. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Very good points that you raised, and one of the objectives of this collaborative that we have just developed is basically not to create duplication, but to embrace all the existing programs out there already, and make them a part of this. And that's why we have 9 partners who are willing to come in and provide in-kind contribution to this. And if Lisa Gardner-Flores want to meet with us, we would definitely want to envision a joint proposal with her to do this. And LA is just coming in because we begged to have a lead agency. We didn't have one at the point where we wanted to speed it up. So they're willing to kind of come in and provide some training and leadership and then leave. And then if we need to expand this where we are part of the umbrella, yes, I agree.
So we will make efforts in Corlay. Our adult education block grant coordinator, is not here, but she will be responsible for reaching out to you and ensuring that your coalition, our collaborative, is a partner with adult education block grant. We need to partner with all adult education that's happening in our community. And so we'll bring you under that umbrella and on our, on our partner list.
Yeah.
And then continue to explore ways in which we can, not only partner with the Construction Academy, but partner with our adult education, our adult high school GED program.
Right. If I can just kind of chime in now. One of the reasons that we wanted to have this presentation here today was because we want to make sure that we weren't missing an opportunity, such as what you're talking about now with the adult education program that Santa Barbara City College is already running.
Yeah.
I don't think that what we're envisioning or what you're suggesting is going to dramatically change any sort of agreements that have already been made. I think that it's going to enhance and as you suggest, it's going to avoid the duplication.
Yeah.
So this is very good. This is sort of an information exchange that's going on here now. And I'm certainly working with Clarissa as well as the others and the commitments that the Workforce Board has already made. Certainly we'll work with Corlay also to make sure that we fashion whatever we have to fashion to come back so that we can have that sort of connectivity that you're talking about on that first issue. There may be more.
And so really our charge and part of, now that Corlay has acclimated into her new position, she's charged with going out in the community and sort of spreading these tentacles to find out what other adult education programming is in our district that we don't know about.
Or is needed.
Obviously we're looking to study the gaps.
Right.
But what exists that we need to rope in? And we're going to be going out with new requests for proposals here pretty soon. We have another $775,000 that need to be spent.
We should never mention
amounts. Never mention
amounts? Never mention the amount. No. I'm only teasing.
Well, that's the amount. It's on the record. It's public information. But we, you know, so all of our community partners are encouraged to apply, and those should be coming out hopefully by July.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
So the timing might work
that's
out really well based
yeah.
on
that
what we're talking
is
about
perfect.
Here.
I do want to add one more thing,
yes.
and that is adult education has its mission and has its guidelines, and Youth Build has its mission and its philosophy.
Yes.
So maybe we can merge it because once the instructors for this target population have to have some sense of their philosophy and give that meaning and that and understand the values for this, which is basically a full-time mentoring support
yeah.
for these young adults. So it's kind of a specific, unique, but yet it's progressive and innovative. The kind of instruction that will happen at the adult high school will be different. So it would be something new
yeah.
for adult education. So I welcome the partnership.
Yeah, sort of what Patrick was talking about when he said that he went down this to Los Angeles, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And then I think Ray emphasizes, we are limited to age 18 and up. And but the other exciting piece of this is that we're also looking at the gap that we have with older adults too. So to hear, for example, you've got an 85-year-old retired contractor willing to work with young adults or 84. That's another piece that we're looking at right now is studying how can we connect older adults with our youth in our community. And so I think it's very exciting, and I really appreciate you taking the time coming to our public meeting where we don't really have very many participants, and so it's exciting for us that you're here and recognizing.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
But that's really, really that's great. I think that what we as a consortium are looking for is having more folks come forward like this and talk to us about things that are going on. As you said, I think it's really exciting because we start seeing possibilities, for the things that we do and things that we can be doing. So I'm really excited about this. I think that this is going to be a model. Something that I look forward to seeing a proposal coming forward in the next round that speaks to it, as well as certainly tweaking our existing intergenerational so that we can include that and make sure that that's touching upon the things that is going on with Youth Build and some of that connectivity there. So,
including the one-stop.
And the one-stop access, that's right. So,
And everything you shared is totally aligned with our mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's innovative programming, it's getting students to internships and jobs, and
collaboration.
And collaboration.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're welcome to stick around and hear the rest of our exciting agenda.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, I'm being facetious.
You're being facetious, really.
Our agenda is so exciting.
Well, yeah. we put people to sleep.
This is why we're.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Bob, I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, soon.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
I'll be bishop next week, but other than that, I'm around.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Nice to meet
you,
Bob. Thank you.
He'll be at Partners in Education.
Oh, really?
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah,
you're welcome. See you later. Okay. So our next agenda item is to review our first quarter reports. And I would suggest that we just go one by one and take a look at those.
The write-ups that were in these.
Yes.
Okay.
And with and potentially through the lens of whether or not we need to revise our existing annual plan. And let me just highlight what has me a little bit concerned about our existing annual plan, and then I know we can't vote today, but if that concern remains after we review the first quarterly report, we may have to have a special meeting to revise this.
Okay.
Because our next meeting isn't until after our revision is due.
Okay.
Our revisions, if any, are due May 15th. So one of the things, and I sort of feel like our concerns are allayed a little bit even with Clarissa's presentation. But what we have stated in our 1 year plan for 2015-16 was that by the end of our first year, it is a consortium's goals to one, improve existing offerings by redesigning programs to ensure clear pathways to either internships, jobs, or credit transfer.
Oh my God.
And but I think that you'll see in our quarterly reports that we're moving that needle forward. The piece there that has me concerned about internships and jobs, it is met by our impending MOU with One Stop.
That's correct.
And so I think we're okay there.
Okay.
That's sort of my biggest concern. The number two goal was to have designed a comprehensive and inclusive regional adult education strategy that expands its offerings in such areas, for example, as adults with disabilities and older adults. So that points to the research that we're doing right now that will inform our strategy to expand into those areas. So I think we're okay there.
I think we may be okay there, yeah.
And then number three was to set achievable yet ambitious outcomes. Now, we have set outcomes to increase enrollments, and I think given our first quarterly reports, I think we're on the path to meeting these goals. We're coming close to these goals. But as we review our first quarter reports, keep those three goals in mind.
Okay.
So the first one, I'm going to pull this up on my computer.
Is this the Santa Barbara City College Adult High School Education?
Yeah, so GED. Let's do the Basic Skills Adult High School GED.
Okay. Just want to make sure I had the right one.
Yeah, and this would be really, really good for Clarissa, who's in our audience, to listen to, because this is actually related to...
Speaking to that piece that we were just talking about.
Yes.
Right.
So...
that connectivity, right.
Yes. So Lisa Gardner-Flores has submitted this first quarterly report, and it's, the first item, the applicable program areas, adult education and basic skills. And the first item was to give a summary of the activities that have been and the progress on the activities that she's been working on. So one, so this is also reminding us of what her proposal was.
Yeah, all right.
Number one is to enhance a curriculum by creating learning communities. And so they are sending and to participate in professional development and create these learning community social environments. So they are sending four faculty members to the California Learning Community Consortium, and they will begin the design of the learning centers in April. So I don't know if she's begun the designing of that or not.
That was in April, so this is May, so maybe it's just passed. And so it says, we'll attend the California Learning Community Consortium. Where was that? Was that in Sacramento or what? I'm just wondering.
I don't think it's happened yet.
Okay.
Because it says upon their return, they'll disseminate a plan to the adult high school GED instructors to move forward with the learning community design. They were going to bring professional development CalPro workshops to the non-credit faculty, and that a work group has designed a professional development calendar. They are going to be creating hybrid courses to expand alternative delivery options to integrate Canvas as the learning platform. So the college is moving to a new learning, online learning platform called Canvas. So, so they have to, all of the faculty have to learn that online platform in order to implement their learning community objectives. And then, let's see what else is on here. They are interested in improving student enrollment, and they have reached out to our DSPS director and our security director.
And if you will, DSPS is?
Disabled Student Services Program.
Okay.
Program. Disabled Student Program Services.
I do it all the time with my workforce.
Yes.
Okay.
So what might be interesting to add to this is an outreach to Carpinteria. That's where I'm going with this.
Oh, okay.
For, you know, for exploration purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We may want to add that to their
kind of laundry list of things that they're
RFP.
Doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The data reporting is empty, and I'm going to suggest that we go back to them because there is data that they can report, and it's the number of students that are in the program and the number of hours that the students are completing in the program. So I'm going to recommend that Corlay go back and get that data. So,
okay.
Adult high school, Corlay to get the data. And then she attached a budget table to see, so we can...
Oh, that's the attachment. Okay.
Do you see the budget attachment?
Gotcha.
So the... it looks like $10,000 has been spent. They have $120,000 total, and this is their planned expenditure for the rest of their funding. They're developing curriculum totaling about $30,000, so they're creating these hybrid courses and these learning community programs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a professional development plan, so that's where you... You know, one of the adult education block grant goals is to infuse professional development in all of the training programs.
Good.
And so this speaks directly to that.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking to create an internship system, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And they also are trying to improve their data collection by creating a data collection initiative for the adult high school. GED is a very unique program that doesn't really sit in any one of Santa Barbara City College's academic departments because it's interdisciplinary studies. They teach social studies, government, political science, math, English, and reading. And so, so they don't have a chair of a department to really lead the effort. So we struggle to pay stipends to the non-credit faculty to serve as a liaison or leader of the program.
Yeah.
And so that's what these stipends are for.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't know that.
And then they have a need to pay for their assistants that are in the classroom. So the way the program is set up is it's open door walk-in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
open entry, open exit.
So there's a certain number of hours that it's open, and there's a faculty member there, and you could have as many as 100 students in any one location at one time. And so it's very important to have a lab assistant to help the faculty member, because we only schedule one faculty and one lab assistant.
Help the stampede just in case, right?
Yes. And so some of this funding is slated for that. And then instructional supplies, and travel and conference, and marketing. So I would...
Now, marketing would be part of that outreach, letting folks know about this, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
which is very interesting.
So I would suggest that So I'm going to have Corlay not only get data on this one, but also to revise the marketing funding to include outreach to CARP. And then that hopefully will lead to a new request for proposal.
Yeah.
To just focus on building a program in Carpinteria.
And Clarissa, you have a copy of this from back from
yes,
from back
just,
there. So Lisa Garner Flores's
contact
information is on there. So yeah, so I would just suggest don't necessarily wait for her to contact you.
Yeah.
Gotta be proactive.
No.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Question?
Sure.
This, and I'll probably ask this, the same question of each, and maybe you're going to say it anyway. Are we kind of on schedule with the overall timeline that we were thinking of for this particular project?
Well, that's a great question. The state is allowing us 3 years to spend this money.
Okay.
So there will be overlap. So,
okay.
So our job could potentially become way more complex because this particular program, and maybe all of our programs,
could
take 3 years to spend the $120,000.
It could be.
We don't really, we're not encouraging that. We're encouraging them to spend as quickly as possible, especially if they're interested in getting more funding. But since they've only spent, it appears to me they've only spent $10,000.
What you were saying,
and
right.
If Corlay was here, she'd be able to clarify that. But
right.
If they've only spent $10,000, you know, and they come back to us for a new RFP, we're going to be hard-pressed to give them more money.
Right.
Because they haven't spent, right?
And that's kind of where I was going with it, too. But at the same time, I wanted to be mindful and sensitive to the fact that this is the first year.
Yes.
And so I know there's a lot of startup that's happening with each of the projects.
Yes.
And so I just want to just kind of throw it out there. Not that we can't make a decision on anything anyway with just the two of us, but
right.
Just to kind of put that in our brains that maybe some of these things are going to go a little bit longer than we thought. Maybe they're starting up a little bit slower now, but they may pick up as we're moving along. So
yes.
I don't know whether I don't want to prejudice myself in either way.
Yeah.
If they should come back and ask for a different project or some more and that sort of stuff, because
right.
This is just the beginning.
Right, but we do have to consider that
mm-hmm.
you know, how have they done
yeah.
so far? If they're coming back for some more funding
yeah.
for something else, which is why it's so critical to spread the word in the community that we have this program. And we have programs that we can fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that as a result of the first quarterly reports of the studies that we
mm-hmm.
get, that we will get RFPs to have programs for adults with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we move into the second phase of our spend.
Okay.
And maybe get programs like Youth Build coming to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, great.
Yeah, I didn't want to preempt
okay.
you, but...
All right, so let's look at the next quarterly report, which is also submitted by Lisa Gardner Flores. She's responsible for adult high school GED and our non-credit ESL
program.
Let me
try to find that one. Hold on.
Okay.
That's the non-credit ESL?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I had the right thing. Funny.
And so, again, the summary of activities is to remind us what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to enhance the core curriculum to include content-based job readiness and content-based instruction that will lead to employability, which is absolutely critical
mm-hmm.
to our mission. And so they finished the Basic Skills Initiative project, which was to analyze an 8-week semester schedule and recommend curriculum modifications. And so what I know about that is that Santa Barbara City College is on a 16-week semester program, and what they're trying to do is chop that in half.
Ooh.
And do 2 8-week sessions. They think that that's going to
really?
Meet the needs of the non-credit audience better, so that they can have these concentrated levels of ESL
mm-hmm.
follow each other. And also, one of the challenges of our non-credit ESL program is that, in essence, it competes with the credit ESL program. So they're trying to differentiate themselves as a non-credit program that's going to lead to employability skills.
And this would be something, maybe this is a little asterisk for both you and me, as we're talking about the MOU that we're going to be doing together, something that this seems like it's something that would be really, really advantageous to the workforce system.
Yes.
ESL is always an issue for us.
Yes.
Looks like a goodie.
Yes, and we could have the Workforce Development Board inform the non-credit ESL on what the community needs and make sure we're meeting the community needs.
Yeah, from the front lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they are also improving outreach to facilitate student access. Workforce Development Board could help with that probably too.
Mm-hmm.
And then an emphasis has been placed on professional development. And the first area would be in technology. Again, data is empty. So I want to send this back for data reporting because we have a very robust non-credit program with tons of students in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know what's, you know, because we want to track students that
mm-hmm.
are in the first quarter versus second quarter. You know, we want to see those numbers hopefully increasing.
Okay.
So
I don't know how your system, your data collection system works. I can't.
Well, I'm going to ask for the ESL correlate. Okay. And then... if we look at their budget here, it looks like they have spent about, they have a total of 150. I'm not sure, I can't tell from this what they've spent, but it would be good for us to know.
Yeah. Is there something that we can do, I mean, in I know that we kind of designed and developed the reporting doc that we're looking at. Is there a way that maybe that could be incorporated in as just a line or something? You know, amount budgeted for this particular activity,
yes.
amount expended on this particular activity
yes.
to date, something like that.
Yeah.
Might you know, I don't know how much trouble I'm causing people as well as possibly myself. But
yes, right.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you're part of this.
Yeah, I know. I could be strangling myself here. So, but I just think that the consortium needs to know as we're having these quarterly reports, and I think the public needs to know that also.
Yeah,
so.
I think so too.
It's
probably
the right thing to do.
Uh-huh. I'll send that back. But this gives us a really nice picture of how this has been fleshed out with
mm-hmm.
the budget. You know, the budget's been fleshed out. I'm happy to see this.
Yeah.
And she does say in her report she's making best efforts to spend by June 30th.
Mm.
I doubt that will happen.
Yeah, but best efforts was a key word there, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. So... should we move to the next one?
The next one, is that the one with Alan? And the STV non-credit?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to have to do translation on
sure.
on the abbreviations
yeah.
here.
STV is...
she's laughing right there.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke about that, but it's inappropriate. STV stands for short-term vocational.
Oh, God, I just realized where you were going. Okay, forget it.
Short-term vocational is a Santa Barbara City College programming in the non-credit area that specifically leads to a particular job. That's
okay.
the idea behind it.
Okay.
So our construction academy, our non-credit construction academy would be considered short-term vocational. We have... other programs like Serve Safe in the culinary arts area,
mm-hmm.
that's a non-credit vocational program that gets students certified to serve food. We have medical assistant training program.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the programs that Alan Price is responsible for. And so...
And Alan is the dean of?
He's the dean that oversees career and technical education,
okay.
CTE programs.
Okay.
So he summarizes here that the short-term vocational program was approved for the development of a non-credit to credit bridge program. So what's happening is our Green Gardener, for example, is another short-term vocational program. And what we're trying to do is bridge that non-credit vocational program
to the credit side.
Mm-hmm. Not only so that they will have two pathways, one to a job or one to credit transfer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Okay.
So
cool idea.
So the non-credit to credit bridge courses, and that's what the Adult Education Block Grant
mm-hmm.
wants us to do, is
mm-hmm.
make these bridges from non-credit to jobs or non-credit to credit.
To credit.
So this one is non-credit to credit bridge courses
mm-hmm.
in the disciplines of environmental horticulture, which is our Green Gardener program, construction technology, which Patrick Foster is responsibility
mm-hmm.
for, culinary, which is our serve safe, the medical and healthcare, which is our medical assistant training program, computer network engineering, and automotive technologies. And I know we have our short-term vocational expert in the audience, but do we currently have, I'm going to ask Shelley Dixon, do we currently have a CNEE or automotive short-term vocational program?
We have CNEE, just a couple of courses that are from a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, like
so we're
going to
revive those,
huh?
Potentially? Is the,
they're happening.
Okay.
They're in our CSI
okay.
catalog, and we're offering them.
Okay, and then what about automotive technology?
Nothing.
Okay, so that's potentially a new program.
Okay, so I think Shelley just said kind of what was going to be my question. Are these out of the skills training?
Yes.
Skills Institute? Okay.
Well, not all of them.
Not all of them. Some of them are, some of them aren't. That's
yeah,
what I was
and
thinking.
And we're having the conversation, do we rope in the career, these non-credit short-term vocational into the Career Skills Institute? We're having that conversation.
Okay. Well,
we can
okay.
put it under the Career Skills
yeah,
Institute
cool,
umbrella.
Cool idea. I was just
yeah.
thinking of it, you know, because
yeah.
it's really cool.
So what it says, at the time of this report, or April 11, 2016, 10 courses have been developed and submitted to the curriculum committee.
Whoa.
So we're on about, ultimately, an 18-month cycle of new curriculum. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through our local curriculum committee, then it goes to the chancellor's office, then it comes back to Santa Barbara City College with a control number so we can actually offer the courses. That probably takes 6 months, but then in order to get the certificate, which it gives us
mm-hmm.
the greatest benefit from the state because it gives us enhanced funding,
mm-hmm.
after those courses are approved at the state level, we have to then get a certificate approved, which adds another 6 to 8 months to the process. So the total to have these
it's like a year.
Finished is
a year
to a year and a half.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking
that's
at.
That's very interesting.
But we'll have spent the funding
mm-hmm.
to do the curriculum development.
Uh-huh. One more thing, because I know it's something that's, you know, really near and dear to both you and me.
Yeah.
Are there badges being awarded for any of these courses here?
Well, so, again, that's a conversation that we would be discussing.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep bringing up things.
That's okay. All of our badges in the Career Skills Institute
mm-hmm.
are actually state or will be state-approved certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very easy for us to award the badges
for
these
like
ones
the badges,
we have them.
You know
yeah.
Okay.
And it's very innovative. And
mm-hmm.
you know, so it would be very easy for us.
Okay.
And if the consortium insists, then we
yeah.
should.
No, I'm not going to insist, but I really do.
Well, but the consortium
yeah.
should provide guidance
yeah.
that would be important.
It is important to me.
Okay, that's good information.
Okay.
And then 4 courses from the construction technology and 1 course in culinary have already received approval. The remaining 5 courses, with 4 from construction, 1 from environmental horticulture, are being reviewed and expected to be approved by mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
Additional courses and their associate disciplines are being considered for development. Now, when this, he says data reporting not applicable, that's not true because we've had enrollment in
mm-hmm.
non-credit courses.
Okay.
So I'm sending Corley back to discover that data.
Yeah.
And then the budget narrative, it says $39,000 has been approved for course development and $10,000 for marketing. As of this Q1 report, 10 bridge courses have been developed. I think I saw faculty stipend memos come across my desk, so those funds will be spent shortly.
Okay.
And and I think that's the end of that report.
But I hate to keep harping back to my own personal things, but again, this just seems like somewhere as we're doing the MOU together, the AEBG and the Workforce Board,
yes,
MOU, building in maybe some sort of a way for the college to let our delivery system know at the one stops that these are available. They don't know that these are available.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
And so somehow we have to figure that out. I mean, I don't know how, and I've delegated the MOUs to Linda Hillman, so
yes, and I made
so
a whole,
I have to go there.
I have a whole set of notes on
for
what,
that.
On what
okay.
the two-way street will be for the workforce
okay.
development.
But this
and
has to be, yeah.
They have to disseminate our materials to
so
at the one stop.
Yes, yeah, so we
yeah.
know. I mean,
exactly.
Because this is just great stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
yeah, on. And you're a great partner.
We're an okay partner.
Okay, so now we're going to go back to our next quarterly
it's
report,
Patrick.
Which would be Patrick,
yeah.
And this is the pre-apprentice.
Right.
So this is so these are the courses that they developed, and these are the courses that he's teaching. But there are this is the pre-apprentice. Pilot construction program. So here I'm noticing a little bit of overlap from the bridge because those construction courses
from
were
Allen's.
Included. But I think what's happening is that those courses were developed under the bridge program,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening here is that they're being taught and we're partnering with industry to get those students either into a pre-apprenticeship program or into a job or into the credit program.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I was looking to see which, if there was a union, a local union mentioned having to do with that pre-apprenticeship part, and I just wondered who it would be.
Well, we specifically called this pre-apprenticeship
mm-hmm.
and not apprenticeship.
I know.
Yeah,
but
because then it doesn't impact a union
so it is.
Issue.
Okay.
But we could have asked Patrick.
Yeah. So at some point, I just want, because it seems to me that even with pre-apprenticeship, what you want to do is to be preparing them so that they can get into an apprenticeship, and so there has to be some sort of a connectivity or knowledge or something going on back and forth between the unions.
Yeah.
That's all. Somewhere
and I know,
along the line.
Well, I know Patrick has researched this.
And he knows those folks. He probably
does.
Knows the same people I know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No big deal.
So, any comment on this, or should we
no.
move to the next one?
Keep going.
So then the next one.
Oh, this is one with Shelly. So we'll just have to take for hours with this. No. I'm only teasing. Because I've got some coming up in there.
So this one is, we are developing two new certificates. One is a business application certificate. So these are like online apps
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and social media for business. And then we are also developing four new certificates in soft skills, project management, enterprise communication 2,
mm-hmm.
emerging leaders, and thrive and survive in the workplace. So we're developing all of these courses and programs and getting all that through.
Thrive and survive.
Yeah, thrive and survive.
I like
in the
that.
Workplace.
But I also probably would want to look and see what's being taught under the project management, because I know I have I have staff that actually need that sort of training. So
There's two courses specific to project management. One is process improvement,
mm-hmm.
and one is project management for the non-project manager.
Yeah.
Because project management is like a term of art for a specific vocation.
Mm-hmm.
But we have project managers
yeah.
in our in any business.
In anything, and that's probably the one that I'd want.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it would be project management for non-project managers.
Exactly.
And then we've added innovation and creativity class to that certificate. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want them innovative and creative, though.
Yes, you do. and so there's a lot going on in technology. Our computer information systems department is creating new non-credit courses. I'm really excited about that because that brings in a 10th academic department into the Career Skills Institute, VMware, server administration. It's really great vocational programming. And then we're doing
professional
development.
Did you say that would be the 10th department or the 9th department?
10th academic department to participate in our Career Skills Institute.
Okay.
We're very excited about it.
Okay.
And is there anything you wanted to share, Shelley?
No, what's really exciting about that CIS certificate that Esther Frankel's putting together
mm-hmm.
is she's doing it as credit and non-credit. And so along with that, the other two certificates that Norma and Deanna are working on, the comp certificates, those are also going to be developed as credit and non-credit. So that's a whole new model of where we can have non-credit students and students that are part of the credit program in class together.
It's great. And so this is, you know, we are really pushing the envelope at Santa Barbara City College with these certificates. And doing the non-credit pairing, and it is pretty innovative approach because on the credit side there's all of these issues with repeatability and in technology changes all the time
mm-hmm.
and the courses are updated all the time to reflect new technology, especially in computer information systems, and the credit students can't retake the class. But they can come to the non-credit
right.
uh-huh.
and retake it 100 times if they want to.
It's
okay.
Just brilliant.
It's a brilliant idea.
You know, I keep getting, because we have so much free time, I'm sure. I mean, documenting all of this stuff and letting them know some of these innovations that we're doing here just seems to me to be incredible. You know,
well,
they got to know this.
Well,
we have to tell them.
And
stuff.
Part of the Corlay's charge is to be creating marketing materials
mm-hmm.
that look like this. This is going to be our new branding, if you will, that
mm-hmm.
will have all of our programs marketed
mm-hmm.
under one umbrella.
Okay.
So that will be something that the Workforce Development Board, the One Stops, can disseminate. It'll be something
yes.
that Clarissa could
yes.
disseminate, where you see, oh my gosh, look at all this adult education programming we have in our district and nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the goals.
Incredible. Just as an FYI, I looked at my email here, and Micheline did send an email apologizing that she's not going to be able to attend today's
okay.
meeting.
Great. So we're running out of time.
Oh.
We have more first quarter reports. Would you like to extend the meeting to get through these first
no.
quarter reports? No. Okay. So far, have you seen anything that might inform us to have to revise our first year plan?
I don't think so, based on what we've talked about, and I think that you know, this is our first year in moving forward, and I think that people, you know, kind of gotten in gear now, and we may not be right on target, but we're close enough. And I think we're certainly moving in the right direction. So
okay.
I would hope, you know, unless Sacramento tells you that you need to do it. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it.
It's totally up to us
okay.
if we have a need to revise it.
Okay.
Because we think we're not going to meet our goals.
No. Okay.
And I think we're on track, and so I think we'll just leave it at that.
Right.
And I will, as the chair, make a recommendation that we do not submit any revisions or amendments to our original annual plan. We will be developing a new annual plan
mm-hmm.
That's due mid-July, which I forgot to mention. It is in our welcome. Our new annual plan for 16-17
right.
is due in mid-July, which we will have to have before the consortium in June at our next meeting.
I know, we talked about that at the last meeting,
June 1st.
I believe.
And we must have a quorum, so I'm in a direct corollary to make sure that we have a quorum on June 1st.
So that's June 1st. Let me take a quick second.
Yeah.
I do have a calendar that I can consult.
Yeah, because we made a decision that we're dark July.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we had one approval item which we won't be able to address today, and it's our public meeting schedule. Micheline had requested we revisit this time because of her schedule. It's been difficult for her to attend meetings. And
I got you on for June 1st.
Good.
And
so I'll have
Corley
confirm with Michelle and Tony to make sure we have a quorum, because we've got to have we've got to take action.
I know that Tony, as I said, is out of the country in May, but I think he'll be back for this. But
okay,
it would be for us. Yeah.
So without any, the approval item for public meeting schedule, I think we'll do that on June 1st and perhaps work on, I'll have Corley work on putting together proposals for dates and times that work for all of us offline, so that we have an agreement before we come in that we can approve at the June 1st meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Without any further discussion.
What ado?
I'm adjourning the meeting exactly at 10:30.
Bang.
Wow.
Thank you.
And we will turn off the recording here in a second. And